One of the most quoted lines of Hamlet is, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." Hamlet is ruminating about a ghost, and it's debated if he really sees one or is feigning madness. But through the centuries, what the ghost says has rang true, that the things we can see make up a very small part of reality. Consider that for the past year and a half, the world has gone mad over a virus that is so small, 500 million of them could fit on a pin. Of course, this is apropos of angels, since the supposed debate about the number of angels that could fit on a pin is a way to criticize medieval scholastic theology. By the way, the number was said to be 1 million and not 500 million. We find, though, what Horatio could only dream actually expressed in Scripture. Cherubim with a flaming sword were placed to keep fallen man out of Eden. Cherubim decorate the veil of the Holy of Holies, and two cherubim statues 15 feet tall stood guard inside the Holy of Holies, and two smaller ones were on top of the mercy seat. We find Ezekiel describing cherubim in chapter 1 and then naming them in chapter 10. They are described as four living beings filled with eyes, as Revelation 4 describes four living creatures round God's throne in heaven that way. Read Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4. Think of living creatures filled with eyes and think, here there be dragons. It is not, contrary to what most people think, old maps that have the notation that here there be dragons for unexplored areas. In fact, there's only been found one 16th century globe that has that notation. Our scriptures have beings every bit as powerful and fantastical as dragons, as superheroes. Here there be angels. Not just cherubim. Read Isaiah 6. Isaiah sees seraphim. "I saw the Lord, he was sitting on a lofty throne, and the temple was filled with his glory. Hovering above about him were mighty six-winged angels of fire. With two of their wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew." Read Genesis 28. There you'll see angels ascending and descending between heaven and earth on Jacob's ladder. Or go to your New Testament. You'll find the angel Gabriel announcing the pregnancy of John and the incarnation of Christ. Suddenly, with the shepherds, you'll see and hear a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. More than Horatio ever dreamt is not only expressed in Scripture, but is confessed in the faith. It only dates to the 400s, but we have a document called the Celestial Hierarchy. It describes three ranks of three angels each. They are named and ordered: seraphim, cherubim, and thrones, dominions, virtues, and powers, principalities, archangels, and angels. The last two named have the most to do with men, although others are named in Scripture, as we heard in the Hallelujahs today, and sung about in hymns. Lutherans specifically have taught their children for almost 500 years now to pray morning and night to the Heavenly Father, so that he let thy holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Horatio may have dreamt of angels. We and our children, we live with them. We've taught our kids to play Transformers, superheroes, wizards, and make-believe, but to confess guardian angels day and night, who, according to Matthew 18, always behold the face of the Father. So wherever they go, wherever our kids go, their guardian angel goes. And since that guardian angel's always looking to the Father, he's always doing his will. We confess to believe in angels in the Nicene Creed when we say God the Father is the maker of all things visible and invisible. We sang of the invisible in the processional hymn. Watchful is the angel band that follows Christ on every hand to guard his people where they go and break the counsel of the foe. We sang about the nine ranks in the hallelujahs. Bright seraphs, cherubim, and thrones raise the glad strain, alleluia. Cry out dominions, princedoms, powers, virtues, archangels, angels, choirs. We chanted of them in the introit. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. And we chanted of them in the gradual. For he will command his angels concerning thee to guard thee in all thy ways. And every Sunday, in the proper preface, we confess that in the communion, we unite with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to laud and magnify the glorious name of our God. Today, you know, something is fashionable if it's trending in social media. Well, that proper preface is found in nearly every ancient liturgy. It's been trending now for about two millennia. C.S. Lewis saw what Horatio couldn't dream. He said that what men call empty space is the packed reality of heaven, teeming with creatures visible to God and to the faith. He went on to say that humans could not even dream of how many degrees the stair steps, even of created beings, rises above them. A 20th century Swedish Lutheran bishop saw in the faith what Horatio couldn't see in his dreams. But the wall is of crystal and the church without a roof, and the angels of heaven ascend and descend. They bow before the chalice. They cover their faces. They say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." You wonder at the promise of science, the power of technology, the predictions of science fiction. The faith confesses the reality going on around the body and blood of God in the space and time where we live. Yes, we not only have what Horatio couldn't even dream of, expressed in Scripture and confessed in the faith, we have them lived in our life. We wonder with the Old Testament church about the jaw-dropping reality of Jacob's ladder. There is a connection between heaven and earth and through the angels of God. But then in John 1, the man Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary in time but begotten of the Father in eternity, tells you that Jacob really dreamed of him. He, Jesus, is the ladder upon whom the angels of God ascend and descend. Knock me down with a feather, right? Wherever Jesus is in our life, to the extent Jesus is in our life, to that extent we have the ministry of supernatural, super powerful, super amazing angels. Go through Jesus' story, which is really your story again. He goes through the great temptation by the devil alone without the aid of angels. He, in your flesh and blood, uses only what your flesh and blood has and is tempted just as we are, yet does not sin. Only after coming out victorious in that 40-day trial do the angels come and minister to him. He did that in your place for you, so that you may never doubt that when you're faced with temptation, no matter how intense, how ugly, how enticing, how compelling, you do not face it alone. Your guardian angel is there for Jesus' sake. Then go to the beginning of the Passion and see it so difficult that God in flesh and blood needs to be strengthened by an angel to go through the hell that your sin and sinfulness deserve. And know what he does, and know that he does this by the choice of his Father, according to his will. God loves you that much. So much that although Jesus says to his disciples that he could call on his Father right then and there and have 72,000 angels at his disposal, he did not call for rescue. Why? One, to pay all suffering in hell that was due for the sins of the world. Two, so you could know that God has no shortage of angels to minister to those in Christ. The angels love to be wherever Jesus is. 1 Peter 1:12 says the angels are bent over, looking down, wondering about the things that Jesus is doing. Read Matthew 28:4. The angel expresses a sigh of relief, maybe triumph, that he at last gets to tell the grieving women that Jesus has risen. He says, "There, I've told you." Angels apart from Jesus are demons. They're evil spirits. They're unclean spirits. They're Satan's minions. So we never seek angels apart from Jesus, but where Jesus is. Perhaps the Eastern rite of confirmation is better. It doesn't just ask the confirmand to renounce Satan. It adds, and all his angels. We know for sure Jesus is where he promises to meet us. He doesn't promise to meet us in dreams, in visions, in your thoughts, in your reasonings, or in your hopes. He does promise to meet you in your baptism. As sure as you've been marked by the crucified and joined to him in baptism, so sure do angels hover about you. He promises to meet you in the forgiveness of sins. So when you're absolved by me, by another, or by the Lord's Prayer, it is not wrong to hear the Hallelujah chorus. After all, Jesus himself tells us the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner repenting. And all the company of heaven, not just angels and archangels, not just those who departed in Christ, but seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, virtues, powers, and principalities are all with us before the body and blood of Christ on this altar. Talk about needing to scrunch up at the communion rail. Horatio could not dream of all that heaven could do on earth. But we can because we read about it in the Bible. Do you think God recorded Elisha being protected by angelic horses and chariots in 2 Kings 6 as a one-off? Oh, he could or would do that for Elisha, but not for the likes of you, baptized into, bodied and bloodied to, and absolved by Jesus. Oh, yes, he records Peter being chained in prison, two guards inside the cell, two outside, and an angel freeing him easily as a one-off too. So you might as well tell your kids that Spider-Man, Superman, or Transformer did those things. And tell your teens that the smartphone, social media, or the Apple app did it. Yes, make them more in awe of an atom bomb that killed 80,000 people instantly to deliver the United States from war. Make them more in awe of that atom bomb than of the one angel who killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night to deliver the Church of God. Tell them the Secular Humanist Manifesto of 1973, which is now American civil religion, is right after all. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Wrong. The days of angelic protection, angelic deliverance, and angelic accompaniment, they're not over for good. Because these days, our days, the people of God's days, have been redeemed, blessed, and are guarded for Jesus' sake by angels. As the Lord attends to your spiritual needs by means of physical things that touch and interact with your body, so he attends to your physical needs by means of spiritual beings interacting with your body and soul. And that is way beyond what Horatio ever dreamt. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.